Hey, this is John Lee Dumas from EO Fire, and you're listening to Elective Rotation with Pharmacy Joe. You must be prepared to ignite.
What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 57. In this episode, I'll review the updated CHEST guidelines on antithrombotic therapy for VTE disease, answer the drug information question, can I continue metronidazole for prevention of recurrent Clostridium difficile infection in patients requiring antimicrobial therapy, and I'll share a resource I wear around my wrist. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode57. If you know someone who would find this podcast helpful, please share it with them. The Pharmacy Nation Slack group is a free community with other pharmacists from around the world collaborating with each other using real-time messaging to help better care for patients. I invite you to join me and the many other Pharmacy Nation members there. You can sign up at pharmacynation.org. The American College of Chest Physicians have recently published the 10th edition of their Guidelines on Antithrombotic Therapy for VTE Disease. This edition of the guidelines continues the use of the GRADE methodology to describe the quality of the evidence and the strength of the recommendation for each guideline statement. The 9th edition of the CHEST guidelines on antithrombotic therapy for VTE disease was published in 2012. The guideline authors made, at the time, several innovative changes to the way their guidelines were structured. Three notable changes were: number one, prominently taking patient values and preferences into account in the guideline recommendations. Number two, a series of podcasts were released with the 89 guideline publications explaining the new approach to guideline development and highlighting the new recommendations compared to the previous version. I have those podcasts linked up in the show notes. And number three, providing a more critical, bias-free look at the evidence, which resulted in the weakening of many guideline recommendations. The third change turned out to be of critical importance. In the age of guideline-based quality metrics deciding payment, giving controversial evidence a strong recommendation results in frontline providers and patients being placed in no-win situations. One need look no further than the sepsis quality measures and the ridiculous mess this has created as proof of the need to reserve strong recommendations for when the evidence is uncontroversial. For a great review of what happens when poor evidence creeps into strong guideline recommendations, check out the post titled "We Are Complicit" by Scott Weingart of MCRIT. And you can find that link in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode57. The 2016 publication of the 10th edition of the CHEST guidelines builds on the excellence of the 9th edition with this major change. The CHEST guidelines on antithrombotic therapy for VTE disease will transition to an online living guidelines model. We've already seen this happen with the CPR guidelines, and I've discussed this concept a bit in episode 26. Guidelines quickly become outdated and irrelevant as new evidence becomes available. Moving to this model will allow the guidelines to keep up with the pace of scientific discovery. As the authors state, this new model fundamentally raises the bar for guideline development, dissemination, and implementation by focusing on specific portions of the AT guideline that require updating and will most likely alter approaches to guideline development for other professional societies in coming years. As of this recording, the guidelines are available online in a pre-publication online-first PDF document. This document is unformatted. As they did in 2012, CHEST will publish a formatted version of the guidelines with shaded text used to highlight recommendations that are new or that have changed since the 9th edition was published. The most interesting change that I've noticed in the new guidelines is the upgrade to the strength of the recommendation given to non-vitamin K antagonist oral anticoagulants. For patients with deep venous thrombosis of the leg or pulmonary embolism who do not also have cancer, warfarin and the non-warfarin oral anticoagulants dabigatran, rivaroxaban, apixaban, and edoxaban now share an equal recommendation. The AT10 guidelines give any of these oral anticoagulants a 2B recommendation to be used for 3 months. If the non-vitamin K antagonist oral anticoagulants are not chosen, warfarin is recommended to be used over low molecular weight heparins with a 2C recommendation. The authors describe the reasoning for this change as follows. First, they state, despite the lack of specific reversal agents for NOACs, the risk that a major bleed will be fatal appears to be no higher for the NOACs than for VKA therapy. They also say, based on less bleeding with NOACs and greater convenience for patients and healthcare providers, we now suggest that a NOAC is used in preference to VKA for the initial and long-term treatment of VTE in patients without cancer. And finally, they say the order of our presentation of the NOACs, dabigatran, rivaroxaban, apixaban, and edoxaban, is based on the chronology of publication of the Phase 3 trials and VTE treatment and should not be interpreted as the guideline panel's order of preference for the use of these agents. For patients with DVT of the leg or PE who also have cancer, low molecular weight heparin is still the preferred treatment with a 2C recommendation. However, the non-vitamin K antagonist oral anticoagulants are now on equal footing with warfarin if low molecular weight heparins are not used. I discussed the idea of using rivaroxaban for PE in a patient with cancer back in episode 29. You can find that episode at pharmacyjoe.com/episode29. Unfortunately, it seems the guidelines contain the abbreviation NOAC, N-O-A-C, for non-vitamin K antagonist oral anticoagulants. This abbreviation is on the Institute for Safe Medication Practices dangerous abbreviation list because it has been misinterpreted as an order for no anticoagulation. Now, the drug information question I'd like to share for this show is, can I continue metronidazole for prevention of recurrent Clostridium difficile infection in patients requiring antimicrobial therapy? And the answer is no. Metronidazole won't work. This question came up in regards to a patient that needed continued antimicrobial therapy after completion of a course of metronidazole for CDI. The Infectious Disease Society of America guidelines on CDI provide no recommendation for prevention of recurrent Clostridium difficile infection in patients requiring antimicrobial therapy. However, the guidelines do note that metronidazole won't achieve therapeutic levels in patients who no longer have active colitis. Oral vancomycin would be the preferred agent if the duration of CDI treatment needs to be prolonged. I field almost as many technology questions as I do pharmacy questions. And the resource I'd like to share for this show is my smartwatch, the Pebble Time Round. This smartwatch works with Apple and Android phones. It is round, thin, light, and has great battery life. It comes in several styles and colors, which I have linked up in the show notes. And most importantly, it actually looks like a watch and not a rectangular hockey puck like some other smartwatches do. I now use my Pebble Time Round to time epinephrine doses during codes, and this leaves my smartphone free to check IV compatibility, medication doses, or patient data. Listeners can support the show when they shop using my link to Amazon. It will cost you no extra money, and I will receive a small commission from Amazon. Just use my link, pharmacyjoe.com/shop, to take you to Amazon each time you shop. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.